Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 6, and I'm reading from the New King James. I'm going to be going back and forth a little bit. Some of it will be the NIV, but I'll start off in the New King James. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We invite you to be our teacher this evening. Lord, I ask that you would come. As we approach your word, that you would open up the heavens, that you would open up the ceilings above us, that you would engage with us, that you would enter into this room and this time and these lives. You'd reveal yourself to us that we might know you. Lord, we all sit in this place in different places in life, in our day. Some of us really are doing so well today, and some of us not so much. But Lord, every one of us needs to hear from you, and some of us desperately. We invite you to teach us, and we ask that through your word, you would speak to us and make your will known. You'd bring encouragement and love and hope. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, Father. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I was driving down the I-10. Now, not nearby, I was on the I-10 going through New Orleans. I was heading to the airport in New Orleans. I was living out on the mission field in South Mississippi. New Orleans Airport was our nearest airport, and I was heading to pick up some other missionaries, some good friends of ours. The Klender family was coming back from California, and I was heading out. And as I was driving along, it was nighttime, and in my heart, I was wrestling with God. I was wrestling in prayer, not wrestling against God so much, but wrestling with my circumstances, with the issues of my life, but wrestling with God, and that I was very much bringing God into that wrestling match. As I was dealing with the struggles, the worries, the concerns, the issues going on in my life, I was praying hard to God. And there was something about that drive. I don't know what it was. I would drive out, usually on my own, something about heading from that from our house in South Mississippi down to the airport in New Orleans, about 60-mile drive. Something about that drive always stirred up a time with the Lord for me. I love the road. I love to get on the road on my own, spend some time with God. I love to crank up the music and silence everything else out. Now, before I knew the Lord, cranking the music was just a way to just let the noise blare out all the hurt in my heart. But as I came to know what music was for, and I came to a place where my heart worships, I have to admit, it's a little hard for me in church service because usually I'm getting ready to teach. And so when we're here singing, I love it, but my mind is on the message. But I'm just on the open road, and I turn on some good, loud worship music, and my heart just pours out to God. And so I spent a time getting close to the Lord, and that worship just connected me back to God, but then I had some issues I was dealing with, and as I was wrestling with God, desperate to hear something back from him, some kind of direction, some confirmation, some encouragement, as I wrestled with him, I was driving, I was about 5-10 miles before I hit the airport, and there on the side of the road is a street sign. It's one of those light-up signs, you know, it's one of the running red letter signs. It's 5-minute oil change. 5-minute oil change, and always it's one of the brightest signs out there. And on the 5-minute oil change sign, I saw something that nearly caused me to have an accident. Underneath 5-minute oil change, it said 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. I looked, and I looked away. And then I look back again. I was a little afraid. I was losing my lane, but I had to know, did that say 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 11? It still did. I looked and I looked back again. 1999 oil change special. Maybe I'm crazy. Drove a little far. Look, it's still there. As I passed by, I couldn't resist. I had to know if it was specifically 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. And so I never rubberneck. I make a point not to look back. But I absolutely had to know at the risk of my life. And I turned around and looked at the other side of the sign, and it was 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. And as I went to grab my phone and thought very quickly to myself, I'm pretty sure it's legal to use my phone in Louisiana still, but I don't know. I've got to know. I've got to make sure. I know that those are the verses that I know they are, but I need to know that I know. Because God had just rent the heavens and come down to speak to me through his word. Freeze there a moment. That's the middle of a story. I want to tell you the rest of the story tonight. I want to tell you why 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11 was so incredibly special to me in that moment. And I want to talk to you about the power of God's word and God's uncanny ability to use technology to sneak his word into our lives and our hearts. Something that's a little close to my heart, if you didn't know, in addition to preaching from pulpits and teaching the Word, I also run a mobile app. The mobile app is called Through the Word. I've been working on it for a few years, and tonight I want to tell you the story of how Through the Word came to be. There's a whole lot of word involved with that, so we're going to be jumping around the Bible a little bit. But specifically, I'm not so much interested in telling you my story. I'm more interested in telling you about the power of God's Word to speak into your life. Why was I freaking out so much driving across the I-10? It was the word of God speaking to me directly. It was not a random verse. 5-minute oil change, I have to admit, they often had verses up there as I'd pass by. I'd seen a couple others previously. Usually it was an ad, but it was clearly Christian-owned. And so they'd have verses. It is the South, and so you can very freely put up a verse as you want, and people give you a thumbs up for your faith. But it was specifically 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. God's word jumping into my life and reminding me of a time when he had spoken to me before. Now, in order to tell my story, I've got to explain to you a little bit of what Through the Word is. Now, as much as I like doing that, I like to tell you what Through the Word is. I've got to give the marketing pitch fairly often for what it is. I started a mobile app and I like to share it, but I have a hard time doing it because, to be quite honest with you, I get tired of making my own pitch. I run a mobile app, I'm in technology, but I didn't get into this ministry to tell people my sales pitch. I didn't get into this ministry to tell people my story. I got into this ministry to get people engaged. Engagement is actually a pretty hot word in tech circles especially. We want engagement. It's not just about downloads. It's about engaging people. And the same thing is become true in mobile ministry and tech ministry. We don't want just people in downloading a Bible. We want them engaged with the Bible. So we use the word engagement a lot. But what does engagement mean? It's a buzzword, but what we really want is people to connect. We want people not just to download the app, but to open it, to engage with it, to participate in it, to connect with other people around it. But when it comes to ministry, we're not just about engagement with a technology or an app. We're about engagement with God. God engagement is ultimately what we're about. That's what the ministry is about. The heart of our ministry, the heart of Through the Word, the heart of what God has called you to as a church, the heart of the ministry is to connect the heart of each person you encounter with the heart of God. As an audio-based app, our heart is to connect the heart of every listener with the heart of God. And that happens through God's Word. Now, it happens in a lot of different ways. It happens as you pray. It happens as you serve him. It happens as you fellowship. It happens as you love others in the name of Jesus. You certainly connect with God as he receives that to himself. It happens through trials very profoundly, but it happens quite especially through his word. After all, Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. 1 Samuel 3:21 says that God reveals himself through his word. Think about that. He reveals himself through his word. What does it mean to reveal yourself? Well, self-revelation is how we get to know each other. It means to open up your heart and share something about who you are. That's how you become closer friends, isn't it? You kind of engage on a surface level, but at some point you reveal a little bit of your heart. You reveal a little bit of your past, yourself, your personality, that you're not so open with everybody else because you begin to trust somebody. You reveal yourself. Well, how does God reveal himself to us? God reveals himself through his word. He makes himself known through his word. And so ultimately, through the word, as a ministry, as my personal calling, the reason I give, sacrifice, work, and persevere, my goal is daily God engagement. You can engage with God in a lot of ways. You can certainly open up a book to do that, but my hope and my heart is to reach to the massive billions around the world who engage with others and engage with their world through technology today to engage them with God. Every time I see somebody walking around with headphones. Now, I was born into the first headphone generation in the 80s when the first time you started to see punk kids walking around with these things in their ears. You know what I mean? And as they walked around and adults wondered what on earth they're doing, it's not considered rude anymore. You can walk through a store with your headphones on and nobody considers it rude. But when I grew up, we had our headphones on to escape from the world. But now when I see these little headphones, I think to myself, that could be the word of God in there. I don't care what their clothes look like, what their hair looks like, how many spikes in their hair, their clothes, or their ears, or their face. If I see a pair of headphones, I think that could be the word of God engaging with that soul. How do we get in there? Well, I want to tell you the story of how all this came about for me. It's an interesting story. I hope that it encourages you as you listen to it. As we consider what God engagement is about, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. We are going to be back in 2 Corinthians. I will get back to that part of the story. I promise. I left you a cliffhanger. But for the moment being, 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 is a famous story about the young boy Samuel. If you remember, Samuel was the last of the judges. But when he was a boy, he was given over, consecrated to the Lord from a very young age, and he lived with Eli. Eli was the high priest, and Samuel lived his life in the tabernacle in a place called Shiloh, which is a great place to live. I think it's a fantastic name, Shiloh. If I had an 8-year-old daughter, I would name her Shiloh today. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Remember this story? This is when Samuel was young and he kept hearing his name called. Samuel, Samuel. And remember what he did? He kept running over back to Eli, thinking that Eli's his boss, essentially. He's working for the high priest. And so he keeps running over back to Eli, and Eli said, I didn't call you. But look what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Those two things go together. Samuel, although he's growing up, he's serving God. He's going about the ministry, but he didn't know God yet. Not personally. He didn't have that connection. He knew about God. Eli was certainly teaching him. And he knew about serving God, but he didn't know God yet. It says he did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Certainly he would have been studying the word, but it wasn't revealed to him. To reveal, as I said, is to open something up for understanding, open your eyes to something. And the word had not yet been revealed. And so he didn't have an understanding of it yet, and he didn't know God. Those two things go together. Well, you know the main part of the story. Samuel keeps getting up and saying, Eli, you know, he keeps answering, okay, I'm here. And Eli finally says, wait a second, that's not me. Next time you hear your name called, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Because it must be God talking to you. Samuel does it. He says, speak, Lord, and God gives him a word. The first time Samuel received a word, Samuel was faithful to deliver that word to Eli, but we're not going to get into that. That's not the main part of the story. I want to skip right after that to verse 19. After that first time, God gave Samuel the opportunity to first hear the word and then speak the word, and he was faithful to it. Then in verse 19, so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. I like that phrase. As he's growing up, God is with him. You see that phrase about all of our Bible heroes. God is with you. And as God was with him, he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. In other words, when Samuel spoke, there was no speaking here, and before it reaches the ears, it just hits the ground. As he spoke, it connected with hearts and with ears. As he spoke, why was that so? Verse 20, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. It says there, as Samuel grew and grew, as he's speaking God's word, he's also hearing God's word. It says he gets to know God now because God reveals himself, as it says in the NIV, he revealed himself through his word. As if the word of God is a conduit for understanding who God is. And he revealed himself to Samuel. And because of that, look at chapter 4, verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. If you are tonight one who senses a calling to speak God's word to others, if you feel God's word on your heart, you must first hear God's word and know the word of the Lord revealed to you. Samuel was attentive to God. He stayed in the tabernacle close to the presence of the Lord. And as he opened up the scriptures, the word of the Lord was revealed to him. And because of that, when he went to speak to others, none of his words fell to the ground. They always reached their target. And because of that, his word went out to all of Israel. And in the midst of all of that, God continues to reveal himself to Samuel through his word. Now, I would not presume to compare myself to Samuel in any way, but I want to share my story a little bit. I grew up in church and out of church, not paying a whole lot of attention in church. The only Bible stories that I remember really knowing when I grew up, I remember sitting in church and noticing that there was a Bible in the pew, so every once in a while I'd pick it up, and I remember flipping through the pages, and I saw that there was Jeremiah, and I figured that that must be the bullfrog, because Jeremiah was a bullfrog, and was a friend of mine, and Joy to the World sounded like a very Christian song, so I started looking through Jeremiah to find the bullfrog story. It wasn't there, and I didn't understand what was going on. And I didn't know a whole lot of the word, but God interrupted my life in my car. As I was driving along my car, I would go party on Saturday nights and go to church on Sunday morning. Sometimes I could party all night long Saturday night and feel nothing bad about going to church on Sunday morning, but at some point, as we would drive to church, as my girlfriend and I, who are now married, Andrew and I, were driving to church, we thought, we should listen to church music. So we changed the dial and turned on church music. I found the most boring music that I could on the radio, and sure enough, that was church music, just as I expected. And I preset that dial on the radio, and so every Sunday morning we could hear it. Well, I was driving about 2 hours a day. I was doing quite a bit of commuting. And as I was commuting along, I'd hit my preset dials, and there on the boring church music station was no longer boring church music, but the teaching of the Word of God. And the teaching of God's Word opened up my car, like as if God was coming through my speakers. It was the Word of God. As I came to understand the Word of God, and I remember listening, it was K-Wave, it was 107.9. As I was driving around San Diego for a couple hours every day, I was so enthralled by the Word. I remember hearing Raul Ries teaching through Exodus, and it was phenomenal. It was absolutely incredible. The story of the Passover and the picture of Jesus dying for my sins. And as I listened, I heard preachers who shared, now I was into science, and so I needed to hear some science. I heard preachers who shared the science that's in the Bible and the evidence of God and the evidence of the truth of God's word and prophecies that came true. And it all just added up for me, and it was so phenomenal. I was just convicted that it was truth. And I gave my heart to the Lord, kneeling next to a little radio in my room where I was living in sin, where I was living in a party house, living for sin and in sin and all around sin. But as I knelt next to the radio, I spoke back to God. He had begun to reveal himself and speak to me, but I finally spoke back to God and gave him my life. Well, the word continued to impact my life. As soon as I was living for the Lord, I was 100%. I was gung-ho. I wanted everything in my life, everything. Now that the blinders were lifted and I could see truth and life and what it's all about, I wanted to live for God 100%. I want to serve the Lord. I don't know what I'm called to, but if God calls me to it, I want to do it. And so as I began serving the Lord, I didn't know if I would teach. Now, the irony of it is I hated standing in front of crowds. I would never even consider possibly standing in front of crowds and speaking. It made me nervous. And so I didn't consider doing that, but I just thought I'm going to serve the Lord whatever it takes. Well, fast forward a little bit, I was invited by Pastor Bill and Pastor Allen to get involved in some ministry and started doing some, and they brought me to a conference. It was a conference called Preach the Word. And at the Preach the Word conference, I was sitting and hearing about the gospel, not ashamed of the gospel, and the call to preach. And as I'm sitting there, I'm just looking for my calling. I'm like, all right, maybe this is it. I don't know, maybe this is it. And as soon as I knew it, I knew that the Lord had called me. I knew he had called me, and as I sat there, I thought, all right, I got it. I got my calling. I'm going to be a preacher of the word. Within just a couple of minutes, it struck me down. I can't do that. And I don't mean like false humility. Oh, no, no, God, I can't do that. I mean, no, honestly, absolutely, genuinely. I don't have the skills. I don't have the courage. I just don't have whatever it is. I don't think I have it to preach the word of God. I understand the gravity of what it means to preach the word of God. I have heard other men preach the word of God, and as if it was God speaking to me through that word. That is quite a calling. I can't do that. I thought to myself, maybe I need to go to Bible college. So I went to the resource area at the back of the room, and I checked out Calvary Chapel Bible College. This must be it. And as I opened up their guide, I turned to a page, and on that page was 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, which said, "Not that we are sufficient to think of anything as from ourselves, but God has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant." Not that we are sufficient. What was going through my heart right then, when I was telling God, "God, I can't do this," God spoke right back to me and said, "You're not sufficient." In other words, you got it absolutely right. You can't do it, and don't you ever forget it. And he gave me his word, and I held on to that, and I cut that. I still have that framed. I have that one page out of there framed. I never did get to go to Bible college. Never could afford the time and the money, and God didn't work it out. I had to put myself through my own Bible college. But he spoke to me that word. You can't do it, but God has made us sufficient. By the power of God, we can do it. Well, fast forward a little while. God's word is a powerful thing, and many times in my life, God has spoken to me in a very powerful way. In a way that no word from a friend, no encouragement, no philosophy, no idea could speak. When God speaks into your life, probably the hardest time in my entire life that I can remember was going through a pretty awful family situation. My grandmother had Alzheimer's. My dad, her son, was going through a manic phase, bipolar disorder, which I had not understood. I didn't know what it was. I hadn't experienced that before to understand it. He was delusional, and in his delusion, he kept kidnapping my grandmother from the old folks' home because he thought they were out to get her. Now, she didn't have any memory, so she had no idea what was going on. And so whatever he said to her, she believed. Meanwhile, my aunt, his sister, the other child in the family, was dying of pancreatic cancer. It was a mess that didn't have any human solution. No encouraging word on the planet would get me through that. But one word, Psalm 27, the end of Psalm 27 spoke to me, verse 13. As I needed a word from the Lord answered. We're done with 1 Samuel, so you can move to Psalm 27 if you want. We will be going back to 2 Corinthians 9, I promise. But Psalm 27, as I needed to hear a word from the Lord, God spoke this to me as if it was his own voice. Psalm 27, verse 13, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Now, it's funny, when the Lord speaks to you a verse, you remember those words. And so even as I read the New King James, like, it wasn't exactly that, because I know it was the NIV. The NIV is what I had. I'm convinced that's why some people are so attached to a particular translation. Sometimes we get so attached, because that was God's voice. I can't give up the King James Version, because that was God's voice. That's how he spoke. What God said to me was, I would have given up hope if I was not convinced that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. And I held on to that word. I will. I am convinced I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, that particular story, I won't tell the whole thing, but it was a long, hard road. But by the time it was done, my grandmother was a believer. She passed away. My aunt was a believer. She passed away. My dad, I wasn't sure. Every time I tried to bring it up with him, he was so smart, we'd end up in some big convoluted argument over something. I could never determine for sure if he really believed, because we just argue over everything. Well, my dad had a stroke. As he had recovered finally from his manic phase, and he went through some extremely hard times that I had no idea how to solve. He had a stroke, and he couldn't speak anymore. And I would call my dad. He was in Arizona. I would call my dad and have one-way conversations, which is a hard thing to do. If you've ever attempted to have a one-way conversation with somebody who can't speak anymore, and I just tell him I love him and try to tell him a story or two. And one day I finally decided to ask my dad, Dad, we've talked about this a lot of times before, but we always end up in an argument. You can't argue anymore, so I'm just going to ask you straight out. Do you believe, I know we can argue over a lot of other things, but do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus died on the cross and paid for your sins, and that if you believe in him, that you're forgiven for your sins, and that after he died, he rose to life again? Just that much. Do you believe that? I didn't even know how you're going to answer me. And suddenly a nurse spoke up and spoke into the phone, and I heard the nurse say, I'm really sorry. I don't want to interrupt. I know you're talking to your dad, but I just want to tell you he's nodding his head and saying yes. Whatever it is, but I don't want to interrupt. He's just saying yes. Okay, Dad. Maybe you prayed this before, but just pray this with me. And I said a simple sinner's prayer. And just pray this with me, Dad. And you don't have to agree with everything else we've ever argued over, but just pray this with me. And one more time, the nurse spoke up and said, I don't know what you're saying, but you just need to know he's saying yes. He can't speak out loud. You just need to know he's saying yes. He's nodding his head with you. And I saw the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I tell you what, that verse, every time I hear that verse, it's as if God opens up the heavens and comes down and speaks to me words of encouragement that no person ever can. God spoke to me on many other occasions. He called me to the ministry with a verse. He encouraged my heart in my lowest hour with a verse. And he called me again out to the mission field with another verse. After my calling, and I knew I was serving the Lord, I wound up in youth ministry at a fantastic church. It was a place called Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. And served in youth ministry with my wife, and I thought it was the best job in the whole world, and I was content to do that for the rest of my life. We'd take the kids on mission trips. Every time we'd go somewhere, we'd have fantastic stories about the things that God did, and we'd get back, and people say, oh, you're going to move there? Your stories are so amazing. You're going to move there? Nope, I'm called here, and I know it, because I got the word from the Lord. I know I'm called here. Until one trip in 2006, we went to Mississippi with hurricane relief after Katrina hit. And after we went there, we came back, and I couldn't honestly say that my heart wasn't being drawn back again. Now, I wouldn't tell anybody because I needed to hear a word from the Lord first. And so I spent a whole year only speaking to my wife about this. But we got one word, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. I just kept hearing 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24 for a full year and a half. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24. He who calls you is faithful, and he also will do it. He who calls you is faithful, he also will do it. And that, again and again, as I kept hearing, I kept thinking, Mississippi, he who calls you is faithful, he also will do it. And I kept hearing. Now, other words came to me. I was teaching through the book of Numbers, and Numbers was speaking to me powerfully again and again about this particular verse, again and again. And so I kept thinking about, okay, what does that mean? He who calls you is faithful, he also will do it. What does that mean? It means he'll do it. It means he's calling you. He'll do what? I have no idea. But he'll do it. I know he's calling me. I got a confirmation that he's calling me. I know he's going to do it. I have no idea what he's going to do. I remember the first time I shared with Bill and Alan, I'm called to Mississippi. This is where I'm headed. They said, well, are you invited? No, I haven't been invited. It was kind of just an open, you know, invite possibly. You know, they said I could come, but do you have a role in the church there? No, I don't have a role in the church there. Do you know what you're going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. I only know he's going to do it. He told me the first part, he said, you can't do it, so I'm pretty good with that. I'm good with not being the do it person, but he will do it. That's what I want. That's all I know about the whole thing. And I know I got to go because I know my life is his. On our second trip out there, we spent some time in 2 Corinthians. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians. I want to show you a few verses there. On our second trip, when I was really seeking, wanting to know what the Lord had for us, I was teaching. Every mission trip we'd take, I would teach through a book. Now, this time, I was teaching the students, but God was speaking to me so powerfully, I could hardly stand it. In 2 Corinthians, confirming his word. First, it was 2 Corinthians 3, reminding me of that first calling. 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. Reminding me that apart from him, I'm insufficient. But with him, God has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant. But then it kept going. And talking about 2 Corinthians is a powerful book. Paul opens up his heart about the ministry and what the ministry is all about. He shares his heart about his calling. And as he spoke about his calling, he talked about the challenges that part of ministry. I remember two phrases stuck out with me. It said, hard work, sleepless nights. I don't know why that stuck with me, but hard work and sleepless nights stuck with me. And then as it went on in chapter 8, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 at verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 at verse 11, Paul says, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness and to desire it, so there also may be a completion of it, completion out of what you have. Okay, I read it in NIV. That was the voice that God spoke to me. It said this, let your eagerness to begin the work be matched by your completion of it. And God was saying to me, you were so eager to start the work. It's easy to be eager at the outset, but let it be matched by your completion of it. You were so eager to serve me at the beginning, you need to match, you need to see it through and keep that same fervor all the way to the end. What has God called you to? And are you as zealous and fervent about that calling as you were when he first called you? And then in chapter 9, and this is where it really started to speak to me. In chapter 9 at verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. He's talking about giving here. Now, specifically, he was talking about the Corinthians had promised to give financially to help out the church, to help out the church in areas that were suffering, in Jerusalem and other areas that were suffering. They're taking up a collection. So he's talking about giving financially, but as I applied this to my heart and thinking about it, whatever you give, give generously. Verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. As I'm thinking about this, I'm considering, do I want to do this? I was waiting for God to just tell me, just go. And I recognize that sometimes God doesn't give you 100% go because then it's a have to. But that God was telling my heart, I don't want you to give reluctantly. What do you want to do? And he asked my heart. I said, well, I want to go. I want to give. Because God loves a cheerful giver. So I don't want to give begrudgingly or reluctantly, but with my whole heart. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Verse 9, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. And right as I read that, I knew he's scattered abroad his gifts. And I recognized that the gifts that were in me to teach the word were not gifts for me, they were gifts through me. And that as he scatters his gifts that he was sending me, and the gift that he'd stashed away in me and the gifts that he'd put in my wife and in my kids were being scattered abroad where they needed to go. He scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And God spoke to me that verse, and I held on to that verse, and I knew I was called. Well, fast forward a little ways. We moved to Mississippi. Hard work and sleepless nights. There were some hard times as we hit the mission field. The mission field is not an easy place to go. It's exciting, but it's not an easy walk. Well, as time went on and we worked at the church, I became the assistant pastor. And I held on to an idea that I'd had for a long time. While I was here doing youth ministry, I was printing Bible guides, daily Bible guides. I was typing up chapter by chapter guides for our students because I wanted them to have something to start a Bible habit. I really wanted to give the students a Bible habit because a Bible habit means daily God engagement. And so to get them in the Word, I was typing and printing them, and I thought for a long time, maybe I could publish these sometimes. Well, in 2008, I took a trip to a writer's conference. I drove from Mississippi to New Mexico, and lo and behold, in that time, I happened to be going through the Word in my own reading through the Word. I happened to be in 2 Corinthians again, and God met me again in the same verses, only one verse later. This time he caught me at verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. He who supplies seed for the sower. In the Bible, seed is often compared to the word of God. In the parable of the sower, the seed is the word. And as I thought about God supplying seed to the sower, I knew he was telling me that the one who supplies the word, the seed for the sower, that he will increase my store of seed, that I'm going to be able to go and share the Bible more. So I thought, okay, great. I'm going to meet a publisher and they're going to publish. And that'll be the whole thing. I'll be set. Fix all my financial problems, all the struggles and trials. Well, didn't work quite that easily. But while I was there, a young guy who was working in digital ministry gave me a little idea. He said, you know what you should do? You should do audio. All right. Yeah, I thought about audio. I could record my Sunday messages and, you know, like other pastors said, no, don't do long audio. You need short audio. Everybody records sermons. You need like 10 minutes. Well, that little idea planted in me ended up with what we call the audio guide. We create Bible audio guides for our app now. So I started working away at this vision, create just a short audio guide to each chapter to walk through. I reduced it to a little bit less, so we do about 5 to 9 minutes for each one. And God started opening up some doors, but still trials. A lot of financial trials come with the mission field. And I get to start recording. God opened up an opportunity at a radio studio to start recording the word. And as I start recording these through Daniel and through Ecclesiastes, very excited about this. We put out a podcast and we've got something started. People are going to hear the word. He's going to multiply the seed, right? I checked out our statistics. After several months of working hard, the only time I could record the only time I could study for it was getting up at 3 a.m. to get it done so I could still get my job done every day. And so I get up at 3 a.m. and study. It takes me about 6 to 8 hours to do the study for each one, and I was trying to get done 5 a week, so that was a lot of work. And as I get to record them, as I put all that into it, and I saw our statistics, we had 3 listens. Some of them had 5. And I knew I was listening. And I knew my wife listened. So whoever that other 1 to 3 people were, they really better like it. And I put several months into this now and invested a significant amount of money into it, and it was starting to hurt. And as I'm driving down the road through all of our struggles, feeling like, where's the fruit, Lord? Where's the fruit? I hit the road to New Orleans to go pick up the other missionaries who were struggling just as much as we were. And as I'm on my way there and wrestling it out with God, there's a 5-minute oil change with a sign. It says 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. And I nearly hit somebody because God was reminding me that he is faithful to keep his word. You will find in the word, when God gives his word, there is most often a time of waiting before he fulfills his word. Why does he wait? So that you will learn to trust. So that you will learn to trust the truth that he who calls you is faithful, and he will, future tense, will do it. Well, fast forward a little ways longer. I'm working on this idea for a while. I get a great name for it. I came up with a name. You know what I called it? The Bible Sherpa. It was a fantastic name, except when I asked people what they thought Sherpa meant, half the people thought it was a goat. A Sherpa is a guide. It's somebody who guides you along a mountain journey. Well, it wasn't working, but there was something about the word through that kept striking me. God had spoken to me very powerfully the word through. I don't know what it was. I literally just kept thinking through. I was all over the place, the word through. He'd spoken to me a word in the story of Jesus out in the stormy lake. Remember when Jesus fell asleep and the disciples thought they were going to die because their situation was so hard? I could relate at the time. The storm was hitting so hard and Jesus just seemed to do nothing. He was asleep through it. And I remember after reading that story thinking to myself, you know, I don't think that calming the storm was Jesus' ultimate plan. I don't think that was his big plan because he told disciples, where's your faith? I think his real plan was to test their faith, to see if they would trust him through it. And then it struck me. God spoke to me, said, Chris, I won't get you out, but I will get you through. I won't get you out, but I will get you through. So I kept hearing the word through. I wrote through on a sticky note and stuck it on my wall. And every time times would get really hard, I'd point to it. I'd point to myself, I'm going to get through. I'm going to get through. And then one day it struck me through the word. Is there anything called through the word? And I went online real quick. Is there throughtheword.com? There's no throughtheword.com. There's no throughtheword.org. There's nothing of major significance called through the word. I started looking up verses. I found Romans 10:17. The faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word. I found Ephesians 5 that says that Jesus washes us through the word. And then I found 1 Samuel 3:21 that God reveals himself through his word. So that's what I want. That's what it's all about. I mean, I'll go through the word in you know, Genesis to Revelation. I'll go through the word that way. But what I really want to do is have God reveal himself to people through his word. That's the heart of the app. That's what it's really all about. It's a daily Bible study, but what it's really about is daily audio, daily God engagement. And we've increased our numbers a little bit from the three that we got on the first few podcasts. We get about 1,000 people listening each day to our audio guides, many of them together. Those are the ones following the plan. We get about 100,000 message downloads total every month. 100,000 messages heard, God revealing himself to people. And I get the most fantastic email from everywhere from Ohio to Atlanta to Switzerland to New Zealand to South Africa from people who are engaging with God's word every day. And God reminds me that it's worth it. On my last day, our last Sunday in Mississippi, we were moving out. The church that we had begun with had started about 35. When we left, it was about 28. Didn't see a whole lot of fruit there. Saw incredible fruit in people, not fruit in numbers. Incredible fruit in individual people. God had brought us on. God, I had said on my heart, you're called to through the word. You can't be divided and continue your ministry at here. And so we were getting ready to move. We had packed up. We had a whole lot less money than we started with. We had a lot more troubles than we started with. We'd gone through a lot of hard work and sleepless nights. God true to his word. I was sitting in church. There sitting in church. And it was a message. It was good, Pastor. Pastor Steve Brown, great teacher at Calvary Chapel, Gulf Coast. As I was sitting, he was finishing up the book of 1 Thessalonians. And as he was finishing up the book of 1 Thessalonians, he said, we're going to be in chapter 5. As I was turning to chapter 5, I didn't get my notebook out. I had been praying my heart out all week because we were literally getting ready to move with nowhere to move to. We'd packed all of our belongings up into a truck, and we didn't have a house to move into. We're going to be staying with family, and we had no idea where that road was leading. We're headed back home, but didn't have a house at home. And as I sat there and I'd wrestled and wrestled with God again, he opens up to 1 Thessalonians 5, and I look at the word and I think, oh, it's probably the end of one of those Paul, you know how Paul's letters, they all end with just a whole bunch of names. Say hi to Timothy and Silas and hello to. And I was so exhausted at the time because we'd been moving, you know, packing, which is exhausting. I didn't even want to get my pencil and my notebook out, and God just struck me and convicted me. He said, you've laid your heart out all week. You have filled my ears with your prayers asking for an answer, and you think that I'm not going to give you an answer. All right. It's probably not even God. It's probably just my dumb conscience speaking to me, but my conscience is right anyway, so either way, I'll open up. And I opened up to 1 Thessalonians 5. You can turn there too. 1 Thessalonians 5, and I get ready to write. All right, you want to speak something, speak it. And the message was interesting, and he's going on for a while, and he's explaining the story of the Thessalonians, blah, blah, blah. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. And it struck me, and it woke me up. Do not quench the Spirit. What is quenching the Spirit? Quenching the Spirit is when the Spirit wants to speak something to you, but you plug your ears up. When the Spirit is trying to move, and you don't want to move with it. When you dig in your heels, and you don't want to move. All right, I was quenching the Spirit. I'm sorry. Do not despise prophecies. Oh, what does it mean to despise prophecies? To despise means to hold something worthless. Another translation says, do not hold prophecy in contempt. Do not hold it worthless. Prophecy. What is prophecy? When God speaks his word to you. When God has spoken to you a word, do not consider it worthless. All right, I'm awake. I'm writing it down. What prophecy are you talking about? Which one? I've gotten a lot of words over the years. What did you want to say? And God was convicting my heart. If I have spoken to you a word, do not consider it worthless. It will come to pass. All right, what's the word? How am I going to know? Verse 21, test all things, hold fast to what is good. Testing all things means checking out, making sure that when you think you've heard a word from God, test it to see if it really comes to pass. Abstain from every form of evil. Okay, sounds good. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May he sanctify you completely. You know what sanctify means? That means to wash you clean. As it says in Ephesians 5, God washes us clean through his word. That's how we're sanctified. We're sanctified through trials and through his word. As you go through the trials, the word speaks to you and you're washed clean and you're made holy. To sanctify is to make something holy, set apart for God. May the God of peace sanctify you completely. That means to the very end. That means go through every last trial. That means sit on the boat through the storm until it's done, until his word has accomplished its purpose. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I hit verse 24, and I couldn't hear the pastor anymore. I didn't even know there were people around me anymore. My eyes were so glued to the word, I felt like such an incredible idiot. And my heart fell before the Lord. And I saw 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It said, he who calls you is faithful, and he also will do it. He who calls you is faithful, and he also will do it. And the Lord rent the heavens above me and the fluorescent lights in the little church I was sitting in. And he spoke to me his word, and he revealed himself as faithful. He revealed himself to be a God who keeps his word to the very end. I didn't know what it was he was going to do, but he was going to do it. I set it on the mission field thinking that what he was going to do was through me some awesome stuff, some incredible fruit out there. And he said, this is the fruit I wanted. This is what the fruit I wanted, that you'd be sanctified completely. Your trials are not just about producing fruit outwardly. It's about sanctifying you completely, that you may draw near to the heart of God, that when the word goes forth, that your ears would be free and clear to hear his word speak to your heart, that your heart would draw near to his heart. God engagement. I would ask you to please pray for our ongoing ministry. Things are moving forward. We do have more listeners, but the trials don't stop. And I don't expect they will, but I do expect that he'll use them, and I do expect that he will keep his word.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.